As we have read here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, in verse 14, it says that when John was put in prison, after this here, the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We learn as well from John chapter 3, verse 24, that John was not yet cast into prison. And we learn a great lesson there, that throughout this time, that before John was cast into prison, the Lord Jesus Christ had a public ministry. He had came to the men on the shore and had called them to salvation, Andrew and Peter. We learn as well that he performed his first miracle of turning the water into wine. We also learn as well that he met Nicodemus, that ruler, and spoke with him. And we have that great portion of scripture that many people love to proclaim, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as the Lord comes now, coming into Galilee, he comes so preaching the gospel of the kingdom, calling men to repent from their sin, to turn away from their wicked ways. We learn it is Christ in his role as mediator between God and man, his office of a prophet, one who foretells the message of God. He came here preaching God's precious word, proclaiming to men in their darkness, in their depravity, in their sin, that they were to turn and turn to the Lord. Turn away from their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And with such a message of the gospel truth proclaimed, the Lord is pleased to use servants, human instruments, to proclaim the gospel message. And what we have here in Mark chapter 1, the Lord draws alongside, walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he comes and he calls his servants into what we would like to term full-time service. And though they were called to be fishers of men, though in a sense they were called, what we would say, to go into the pulpit ministry, yet their call has a wider application for each and every one of God's people here today. For the Lord comes alongside today and he says to each and every one here who is a child of God, come ye after me. Come ye after me. As soon as we are saved by God's precious grace, we are to follow and to serve the Lord. And I want to talk to you today about coming after the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says there, come ye after me, come after Christ. What does this mean, to come after Christ? Notice, first of all, it means to follow the Savior. We read there in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, the Lord says to his disciples, come ye after me. In the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, we have the same words, only in a different translation. Follow me. It's the exact same expression, the exact same word. Come ye after me, or follow me. And I say to you that in the original, this here is a command. It's an imperative. It's come, come now. Come now after me. Follow me. Go after me. Do all that I say for you to do. Live for me. Love me. Follow me. And that's what the Savior would say to us today. Follow me. For this here is the command. It's to do whatever he saith unto thee. Don't we sing that hymn? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's a command for every child of God. Come after me. Follow after me. Whatever I say unto thee, do it. We learn as well that this same word is used not only for serving the Lord, but it's also used in salvation. In John chapter 4, there is that well-known account of the woman at the well, where the Lord Jesus Christ goes and he sits at that well to meet that woman, to speak to her. And we learn that she is in shock because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, as she said. But as the Lord started to speak to her, he could see that she was going to get that water. And the Lord said to this woman, that if you take this water, it will not satisfy you because you will thirst. You will still want more. You will not be happy with that water. But the water that I give unto thee, it is water of everlasting life, that you shall never thirst again. And the Lord spoke to this woman. And it says there in John chapter 4, verse 15, she cries out, "Give me this water. Give me this water." And the Lord goes on to expose this woman's sin. He goes on to expose her sinful life of how she's had five husbands and the one she's living with now is not even her husband. He exposes her sin, her rebellion, her breaking God's law, breaking God's commandments, such a sinful life that this woman was living. And the Lord did that work in her heart. The Lord came and saved this woman. And straight after she was converted, after the Lord did that work in her heart, it says there in John chapter 4, verse 29, and here's the same word, "Come see a man which told me all things whatsoever I did." And this lady went out telling the people in the city, "Come see a man. Come now, see a man which told me all things whatsoever I did." He exposed my sinful living. He knew everything about me. He knew my iniquitous heart. He knew my heart, my sin against him. And he told me all these things. And I say to you, sinner, today, in my own personal life, as a child of God, I say, come see a man which told me all things that I did. He told me my sinful living. He showed me my iniquitous heart. He showed me my rebellion. And he gloriously saved me and transformed my life. And I'm glad to say to you today, he can save you. He can transform your life. Oh, I say to you, come, come now. See a man which told me whatsoever I did. Did not the Lord say, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Oh, the whole illustration here is showing that before one can serve, they must be saved. Before you can be a servant of Jesus Christ, you must be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you proclaim the gospel message, you must have the gospel message applied to your own soul. And I say to you today who are unsaved, are you trusting Jesus Christ? Are you saved by God's precious grace? What about you, child of God, as well? Are you coming after the Lord? I want us to notice here that these disciples, they had already been saved in John chapter 1 with those famous words that Andrew found his brother and brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, "We have found the Messiah." And now the Lord comes by and actually calls them into his service. And it teaches us that whenever we get saved, we are to serve the Lord. And I want to look here just at, as we follow the Lord, notice the individuals who are to follow the Savior. Because it says here, "Come ye after me." These individuals, they were only fishers. Fishers of men, or fishers of the sea. They loved the sea life. They loved the boat life. It was a job, in a sense, you could say, that they had no one over them. They were out there in the sea. They were able to do, in a sense, what they loved. They had no education. We learn later on in the gospel, in Acts, that they were unlearned men. And that simply means that they did not go to all the schools of the scholars. They were not the theologians of their day. They did not have such a great education. But nonetheless, they knew about the sea life, and they knew how to go and catch fish. It was their living. It was what they provided for their families every single day. They weren't the greatest of men, but the Lord was able to pass by and say to them, "Come ye after me." And what a great thrill that is to our heart today, because the Lord comes by today. And everybody in this room who is in different sets of employment, and he says, "Come ye after me." And that may be into the preaching ministry, a position in the church. It may be to follow the Lord in your home, in your workplace, wherever that may be. But the Lord says, follow me. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world to follow Jesus Christ, to live for him, to serve him. You look at the man whom the Lord used, Moses. He was keeping the flock by the desert. And whenever the Lord called to Moses, Moses started to make all the excuses of the day. You think of Gideon. Gideon was there threshing the wheat. And whenever the Lord called Gideon, Gideon responded, I am the least of my father's house. You think as well of David. Whenever Samuel came to anoint the next king, Jesse had all his sons in front of Samuel. But David was still out in the field. Samuel thought, David, sure, there's plenty more better than David. But David turned out to be the Lord's chosen. You think of the young boy with the fishes and the loaves. Think of the young girl that Naaman captured. And whenever Naaman was in his leprosy, that young girl, she was able to point Naaman in the right direction to go and look for a prophet, the one who'll be able to heal. Oh, the Lord is able to use his people. Are we willing to be used by the Lord? You may say, I don't have the greatest skills. I don't have the greatest of education. I don't know how the Lord can use my life. I say to you what Paul said to the Corinthians, God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. What about you today, the individuals to follow the Savior? Come ye after me. Notice as well the imitation to follow the Savior. Because the Lord says here, Mark chapter 1, come ye after me. And that word, after me, as we said in Matthew, it means to follow me. Another translation literally reads to come hither. Come hither. And the idea is to cleave on to another. It's to follow the example of another. And what the Lord says to these disciples is, follow me, come hither, follow my example, cleave on to me, imitate me. They were called to a life to follow the Lord every single day. It was a life that they were to put Christ as their first. It was a life that he would have authority over them. Whenever the Lord said to them, follow me, come after me, come now, cleave on to me, he was saying to them, I am your Savior, your Redeemer. I rule and reign in your life, and I am having authority over your life to follow me, to live for me, to do as I do, to please me, to serve me. John took this up in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He said these words, that he learnt in his life that we are to walk even as he walked. Peter learnt from Christ's example. And Peter wrote in his epistle in chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, that Christ, having leaven us an example, that we should follow his steps. And that word example, it comes from a word simply meaning to copy. And the illustration is used of the teacher. The teacher who would write on the board. And as they would write something on the board, the students were to copy down what the teacher had written. Simply to follow the example. To do the same. And that's what the Savior says to all his people. Follow me. Cleave after me, live for me, follow my example. It's to imitate me. Did not Paul write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, that ye are our epistles written in our hearts and known and read of all men. And here the people in the church, they wanted letters. They wanted recommendations to go to another place to have this letter. But Paul said, ye are our epistles. You are our letters. When people look at you, They will simply read your life. And the great lesson here is this here, that as Christians, one man said that your life may be the only Bible that the unsaved will ever read. Your life, to shine bright for Jesus Christ, to imitate the Lord. And I say to you and I say to myself, when people look at your life, do they see the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they see you conform to his image? Does our life draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said this, for me to live is Christ. Oh, the Lord said, follow me. Come ye after me. To live for me. To imitate me. To copy my example. Notice also the involvement to follow the Savior. Because verse 16 it says, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. And whenever the Lord passed by, he saw these groups of brothers. And the first group were casting a net into the sea. And later on, as we will read, the other two brothers, they were mending their nets. And all this preparation centered upon the net. Everything focused upon this net. It was the basis for their business. And we learn that they were casting out this net. When the Lord came to these men, they were busy. They were involved in their daily work. They weren't sitting around doing nothing. They were simply involved in their daily business, and they were casting out the net. And the Lord came to them, and the Lord says to them, come ye after me. You see, he could see in their life that these men are able to be used, that these men are not lazy. And he came and called them. Now, they knew the place to fish. They were experienced men. They loved the sea life. But it doesn't mean they catched fish all the time. Because they had to confess one time and say, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. But for the majority of the point, whenever they came to fish, they were very successful at their work. And I say to you here who are saved, we ought to cast the net, for the gospel message is likened onto this net. And we ought to cast the gospel net to the preaching of the gospel. Oh, I say to you, when was the last time we cast the net? When was the last time we had a love for souls? When was the last time we went to reach out for souls? These men, they were casting a net into the sea to catch the fish. Oh, we ought to have that burden to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to cast out the net, to try and reach souls for the Master's use. Cast out the net. When was the last time we went to our neighbors, our street, the place that we live, and cast out the net to reach all for the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice also, when the Lord went on by, it says, verse 19, he went on a little further. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. And as the Lord comes to the other group, they are now mending the nets. And that word mending, it signifies to fit, to be fitted, to complete, to perfect. It has the idea as to repair, to restore what was broken. We learn throughout the other records that whenever these fishermen went out to fish, there were times the net broke and there were times the net didn't break. For instance, in Luke chapter 5, verse 6, it says, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. John chapter 21, it says, when the net was full of the fishes, yet the net did not break. So we have there two occasions. The net did break one time and the other time it didn't break. But the whole point is this here, that whenever these men went out to fish, they would catch fish and they would bring it back. And maybe the net might have got damaged, and maybe the net might have got all tangled up, maybe the net might have had been widened or it might have ripped a wee bit, and they had to spend time to fix that net, to prepare that net, to restore that net for the next time to go out to fish. The first two, Peter and his brother, they had already spent time in preparing the net, and then they went out to cast the net. But now this group, these other two, James and John, they are now taking time to mend the net. And I say to you, are we taking time with the Word of God? Are we taking time in our life to spend time with the message of Jesus Christ? Is there one life today that needs to be restored? Is there one life today where the net needs to be restored in the family altar, maybe the individual life? There's a life here today to be restored. The Lord saw them mending the nets. Are we spending time with God's precious word? Are we learning God's precious word that we might hide his word in our heart, that we might not sin against him, so we can go out and then cast out the net to reach for souls? Follow the Savior. Come ye after me. Notice as well, secondly, not only is there to follow the Savior, but there is a full surrender. For it says here, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, it says, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. And remember, in the context, what we've said already, the Lord has come and he's commanded his disciples to follow me. Come now. And their response is the exact same. Straightway, immediately, they let down the net, they forsake all, and they follow him. They took action. They dropped all. There was nothing hindering them. There was nothing stopping them. But they simply knew, oh, the Master's calling us to follow him, to spend time with him, to live for him, to serve him, to please him. And they left all, and they followed him. It was a full surrender to follow the Lord. Because notice what it says there. It says, they forsook their nets. And that word forsake, it means, or forsook, it means to separate. It means to send away, to release, to let go, to put off. And there was things in their life that they needed to put off, to separate from, to release. Their income, the fishing industry, the family, the friends. They had to let these go. But I want you to notice something else here. Because in the original, this is in the tense, the aorist tense, simply meaning it's a complete action. So as soon as the Lord said, come ye after me, straightway they followed, straightway they forsook all. They didn't wait, there was no delay. They knew straight away, this is our Savior and we ought to follow him. And that's what they did. They forsook all and followed him. It says there, they followed him. That means that they went to the same place where he was going. Verse 20, and they went after him. They forsook all. They went after him. I wonder today, as the Lord calls us daily to follow him, is there something in our life that we need to forsake? Is there something in our life that we need to release, just simply to let go? Who is it we're imitating? Who is it we're following? And there's some things that we need to let go in order to follow the Savior. I said, I remember when I came back to the Lord when I was backslidden, and I had things that I still held on to. And the Lord spoke to my heart through this portion of Scripture and took down the posters from the wall, took down all the other different things, and simply threw them in the bin. Why? Because I knew I had to forsake all to follow the Lord. I couldn't keep the world and the Lord. It was one or the other, and I forsook all to follow him. It says there, verse 20, that they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants. So they were leaving their family. They were leaving their friends to live and serve for the Lord. And what about you today in the context of the preaching ministry? Maybe there's one here today who the Lord has been burdening. Say, for instance, the Whitfield College of the Bible. And maybe the Lord's calling you into the preaching ministry. Maybe just simply to be a missionary, to come and go into all the world, to reach the gospel. Oh, and the Lord's been dealing with your heart week after week as you go to work, as you go to college. And the Lord's burdened you so much, as in you sleep at night, it's on your mind. When you wake up the next day, it's on your mind. And you hear the Lord saying, come ye after me, come ye after me. To follow the Lord, to give up of all, to surrender all. Oh, I say to you, what is it you need to release, to let go, to go and follow him? Is it the ambition? Is it the career? Is it some other way? And the Lord would say, follow me, and they forsook all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the prophet say? Whenever he had that great message, he said, here am I, send me, send me. And is there one today? You would say in the, from your soul, oh, preacher, I prayed that to the Lord, and I said to him, send me, send me, here am I. Oh, I say to you, go through with God, thy vows to pay. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him. But like I said, the wider application applies to us all, because we are all to make that full surrender. We're all to have that surrender to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what is hindering you from making that full surrender? What is hindering you from going all through with God? Oh, we sang that hymn, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Oh, what do you say, Lord, take my life and let it be wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. My will, my passion and pride, I now surrender, Lord. Oh, take the world and give me Jesus, for he is the lover of my soul. Is there one here today? You'll say, preacher, I'll give my heart to Jesus Christ now. Whatever he wants me to do, wherever he wants me to go, here am I. Send me. I make that full surrender now. And he will use you. Come ye after me. The hymnist wrote this here. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding. Yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord will use you. I said to Mr. Ferguson when I met him to go in entrance to the Whitfield College of the Bible, I said this phrase to him, Mr. Ferguson, if I had the brains of Britain, I would give them to you, but I don't. All I have to give you is my heart and I'll put everything into it. Not the smartest person, but the Lord is able to use. And I say to you, you may feel the same, but the Lord is able to use you in the home, in the street, in the workplace, wherever it may be. All he says to you, come ye after me. Don't let anything stop you from serving Jesus Christ. Coming to the end, we've looked at the follow the Savior. Make a full surrender. But notice, fish for souls. It says here, come ye after me. And then at the end, I will make you to become fishers of men. And notice the great confidence here. I will make you. It's future tense. I will make you. The word make signifies to produce, to form. Of yourself, you cannot do this. Of yourself, you're nothing. But I will make you to become fishers of men. I will mold you, shape you, build you up to be a mighty instrument used. Finally, the certainty to fish for these souls. I will make you to become fishers of men. Luke chapter 5, many feel this is the same account. But it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 10, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And the word catch, it means to take alive. The original simply reads this here, from henceforth men thou shalt be capturing. Here is a word of confidence and a word of certainty. When the Lord said to these men, "Come ye after me," and they forsook all, he said, "I will make you to become fishers of men. I will do it. I will perform it. I will build you up because I have a people to save." It's amazing, and I use this in closing. That word "mend" that we looked at earlier on, it's also used in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says this here, "A body thou hast prepared." And that's the word. "A body thou hast prepared for me." And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, the virgin birth. The power of the Holy Ghost would come upon Mary, that it would overshadow her. And he that would be born of her would be called the Son of God. For he would be Jesus and save his people from their sin. He took our humanity, the God-man, two distinct natures, one person forever. His purpose, to come into this world, he was manifested to die for sin. Went to the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood. And it says here in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And the great truth is this, because Jesus Christ came, because he died, because he finished the work that God sent him to do, there is a harvest to be reaped. And we are to go into all the world and to reap that harvest, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he will save his people from their sin. What a great certainty when you go into cold rain to preach the gospel. What a great desire for evangelism, that you know that there's people there whom Christ has died for. That gives you great confidence that he says, "I will make you to become fishers of men." Well, you can go in to preach the gospel. The Lord says, "Come ye after me." Follow the Savior. Full surrender. Fish for souls. I trust today that we will give our hearts afresh to Jesus Christ. What about you who are still outside of Christ? Will you come to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior? Let's unite our hearts together just before we sing our closing hymn. Lord, we thank thee that thou art still calling souls into the ministry. And Lord, we thank thee, O God, today, even for the band of people this day. Lord, thou hast commanded us to follow thee. And O God, we pray that we would let nothing hinder us, that we would let nothing come in our way. Oh, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy breast and worship only thee. Oh God, we pray, take of our life we asked of thee, and bless us abundantly. Save our loved ones, we pray, as we cast out the net wherever we go. Father, we pray that thou wilt give the increase. Undertake, we cry, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close by singing hymn number 526. 526. "I have only one life on this earth. As vapor it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere 'twill end at the close of the day. Only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God." Hymn number 526. And we'll stand together after the introduction.